Hello, everyone. This is Generation Jihad, the podcast that covers all things that used to be known as the global war on terror, but what we now call the long war. I'm Bill Raggio. I'm your host. I'm a senior fellow at Foundation for Defense of Democracies and editor of FDD's Long War Journal. Today, I'm going to do a solo, maybe you might call it a mini rant about yesterday's House Foreign Affairs Committee's testimony on Afghanistan. So the Foreign Affairs Committee had General Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as well as General Kenneth McKenzie, the former commander of U.S. Central Command. Both were on duty and in charge of their respective commands during the announcement for the withdrawal, all the way up to the end of the withdrawal and the debacle that we all witnessed in August of 2021. So, the House Foreign Affairs had a unique opportunity yesterday to get to the bottom of the military's failure in Afghanistan, but unfortunately, they punted. It was clear to me by about 20 minutes into the testimony that the Republicans on the committee were not interested in getting to the bottom of Milley and McKenzie's specific failures and their role in those failures with respect to Afghanistan. Instead, what it became clear that all of the finger pointing was going to be directed at the U.S. State Department for failure to declare the NEO or the evacuation of U.S. personnel, civilian personnel in Afghanistan. It wasn't called until the Taliban entered Kabul. Obviously, it should have been called far earlier, and the two generals did actually state this. Now, look, I agree. The State Department played a major role, and it wasn't just the NEO either, the failure to call the NEO in a timely fashion. The State Department's dependence on negotiations with the Taliban, Zalmay Khalilzad, the special representative for Afghanistan reconciliation, his role in this, those were all major diplomatic state failures, you know, viewing the Taliban as a partner in negotiations, the Taliban as a, you know, as a group that can be, you know, reasonably negotiated with, it could be trusted to enter negotiations with the Afghan government, trusted to share power, trusted to break ties with Al Qaeda, all of the things that state relied on, that the both in Trump administration and the Biden administration relied on. None of that was true. So the state certainly bears a lot of responsibility, but it doesn't bear sole responsibility. Now, Generals Milley and McKenzie, they bit. Because this is great for them, right? All the blame is getting pointed at state, and they gladly, during the testimony, pointed those fingers at state. This testimony was great for them. They were let off the hook. They were not grilled over their failures. The problem here, the Republicans in Congress can't seem to distinguish between privates and sergeants in the Army on one hand, and political generals, not just the Army, obviously, the political general officers on the other hand. This prevents them being critical of failed generals and, dare I say, political generals, because that's a lot of what we witnessed with both Milley and McKenzie. They provided political cover for the Biden administration to conduct the withdrawal. There were a lot of questions that could have been asked of both Milley and McKenzie and that weren't asked by the committee. It's a real shame. This was an opportunity. And, you know, the other thing that really bothered me about this, both Milley and McKenzie, they stood up there and they, you know, genuflected to the Gold Star families repeatedly and said they want to get to the bottom of the failure in Afghanistan. They want the truth. They're there to testify about the truth. Now, I will say this, they didn't lie because they weren't ever asked the hard questions by Congress. But here are some of the questions that should have been asked that, and sadly, we'll never get the answers to these questions. If the House Committee, Foreign Affairs Committee, wasn't willing to ask these questions, it's very unlikely that the overall Afghanistan Commission, which is filled with people who were directly involved in failed policy in Afghanistan, they're not going to get, you know, getting people to get to the bottom of their own failures. That isn't going to happen. So this was a unique opportunity that the House Foreign Affairs Committee punted on, and it's sad. But here are some of the questions they could have asked. So in 2019, General Miller, who at the time was the Resolute Support Mission commander, he had said that Al-Qaeda is operating across the country in quotes. I wrote an article about this at Longword Journal. Tom Jocelyn and I did. And Al-Qaeda wasn't confined to one region. Like military reports were saying for years prior. Previously, the military was saying, oh, Al-Qaeda is confined to Kunar and Nuristan, and there's 50 to 100. That was a constant estimate. And then Shurabak, the raid on the camp in Shurabak, and 150 Al-Qaeda were killed there, and Kandahar sort of blew that narrative out of the water. Anyway, yet General Miller and others were supportive of peace talks with the Taliban. And keep in mind that General Milley in 2018 was appointed chairman of Joint Chiefs and Staff. Why, when Al-Qaeda was clearly supported by the Taliban to establish such a presence, quote, across the country, end quote, why did they support peace talks with the Taliban in that case? But we'll never know the answer to that question. What was U.S. Central Command's official assessment? Official assessment, not the internal assessment that no one talked about. The official assessment that was publicly discussed of the ties between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda when the withdrawal was announced by President Biden. And was there a dissent amongst analysts within CENTCOM about this official estimate? In 2018, General Miller stated, he was a Resolute Support Commander. He said that the security status in Afghanistan's 407 districts was immaterial to the success and, quote, of limited decision-making value, end quote, to military leaders. So again, you had the general, the commander of Afghanistan, saying the status of the security throughout Afghanistan's districts, think of them as counties here in the States, it was immaterial. It was did not matter. He also said that the goal in Afghanistan was to bring about a, quote, political settlement, end quote, to the war. And that the true metric of success was peace talks with the Taliban. Did General Milley agree with this? Did General McKenzie agree with this? Do they agree with this today? Did both Generals Milley and McKenzie support Trump's negotiations with the Taliban? During their testimony yesterday, they rightly were critical of the negotiations with the Taliban. What was their military assessment of this, and what were they advising both President Trump and then President Biden about that agreement? This one's directed to General Milley on June 23rd, 2021. He downplayed Taliban control in Afghanistan districts, and he claimed at that point in time, June 23rd, 2021, that, quote, 81 of them, the being the districts, or so in the hands of the Taliban, about 50 were done previously, meaning 50 were taken control by the Taliban before the withdrawal was announced, and about 30 or 40 in the last X amount of months. So he basically, end quote. So basically what General Milley is saying, the Taliban controlled 50 districts before the withdrawal was announced and then took control of about another 30 or 40 after the withdrawal began. You know, if you followed the Long War Journal, you know I kept that map for years. We showed that the Taliban were in control of about 80 districts when at the time of the withdrawal was announced. And at that point, on June 23rd, 2021, we were reporting that 139 of Afghanistan's 407 districts were under control of the Taliban at that point in time. About 200 were contested or so. 1 month later, General Milley said that the Taliban controlled over half of the districts. He said the numbers were, and the reporting, it matched my reporting, by the way. About 220 districts were under the Taliban's control. So did the Taliban take control of an estimated about 130 districts during the course of 1 month? or was the data that he provided on June 23rd, 2021, was that incorrect? You know, people might think this is a, you know, doesn't really matter, but it does, because keep in mind, people were saying when Afghanistan collapsed that we couldn't see this coming. General Milley himself stood up there and said, the Afghan government collapsed in 11 days. But what we just saw between June 23rd and the end of July was this either a massive Taliban takeover of districts or something that was occurring. So it doesn't match. And again, so General Milley and U.S. officials and U.S. generals were providing cover to the Biden administration for the withdrawal and the optics for the withdrawal. And again, this is for General Milley. On June 23rd, 2021, he said that the Taliban was incapable of taking Afghan cities. This despite the fact that the Taliban four times prior had taken control of three cities, Kunduz City, Ghazni City, and Farah City. Obviously, Kunduz City was seized twice. By the beginning of August, the Taliban began overrunning several major cities. Zaranj, the provincial capital of Nimruz, was the first to fall on August 6th. How did General Milley get this so wrong? Was this his personal assessment or the assessment of that of the military and intelligence communities? You know, again, people might think this is inconsequential, but they keep in mind General Milley, General McKenzie, and U.S. officials were standing up before us at the time of withdrawal and were telling us Afghanistan is, you know, it's stable. We don't see the Taliban taking control or even threatening the Afghan government for 1 to 2 years. And then those estimates were pared down as things began to get worse. These facts matter. Again, for General Milley, you know, this gets back to the whole point, right? He claimed Afghanistan fell in 11 days. You know, but based on the Taliban's progress in seizing districts and taking capitals, does he stand by that statement that Afghanistan fell in 11 days? You know, wasn't it a fact that the Taliban's final campaign to take control of Afghanistan began as soon as President Biden announced the withdrawal? You know, again, looking at the districts, looking at the Taliban's military offensive, it was very clear to me and to select others that the Taliban had a military and political plan to take over Afghanistan. This is another question I would like to have seen General Milley and General McKenzie ask. You know, we've heard throughout this war, there's no military solution to Afghanistan. Well, guess what? The Taliban had a military solution to Afghanistan. Why didn't we? Do they still believe that there was no military solution to Afghanistan? Or were they saying there was no U.S. military solution to Afghanistan? At the time of the withdrawal, the General Milley reassured us that the Afghan National Security Forces were strong, that they had over 375,000 personnel, and that they would stand up to the Taliban. And then during his testimony yesterday, he said that there were only 170,000 Afghan security personnel and they weren't up to the task. And there was over 100,000 Taliban, which, by the way, refutes Defense Department reports, which were estimating them around 50,000. I was warning that the Taliban very likely had 100 to 200,000 if you added in their auxiliaries. I think that's clear now that the Taliban had a significant force. How did he get this so wrong? How did the U.S. military get this so wrong? Or was this, or were these estimates massaged as they went up the chain of command? Why didn't General Milley or General McKenzie put their stars on the table after the administration insisted that troop levels and not the mission requirements dictate the force posture of the U.S. military during the withdrawal? During the testimony, both Miller and McKenzie repeatedly said 2,500 troops was the minimum that can be put kept in Afghanistan for the safe to safely secure U.S. forces. And yet President Biden insisted, at least it appears to be President Biden, insisted that the U.S. keep about 1,000 troops in Afghanistan. This, of course, led to, you know, the problems that we saw at the end. U.S. incapable of securing the embassy and the airport, let alone securing Bagram, and all of that. You know, I'd like to get their opinion on that or what their view is on that. Did either of the generals recommend calling the NEO much earlier? They indicated that it should have been called in July. But if you listen to their closely listen to their testimony yesterday, they'll just tell you the military is there to support the NEO, but has zero input really on when it should have been called. General Milley is the chief military advisor to the president of the United States. You would think that he would have been, if he believed that the NEO should have been called sometime in early July, as he stated yesterday, that he was advising the president to do so. I'd like to know the answer. Was he, or was he just sitting back? And then the General McKenzie reportedly described the Taliban as our partners, even though he said publicly yesterday that wasn't the case. There are reports that he said it, and it not just said it, but it's written. I would like to get to the bottom. Did he still believe that partnering with the Taliban outside of Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul was a good idea, given what we witnessed? Was he aware that they were dealing, the Taliban that they were dealing with was a unit known as Bajri 313, which are the jackboots for the Haqqani network? This is basically Taliban special forces, people that know what suicide bombers look like, probably know who they actually are. Would he recommend partnering with Bajri 313 if they were to do this all over again? Anyway, there's a lot of questions that I could ask, and a lot of questions I'd like to get the answer to, or at least put the generals on the spot. But unfortunately, Congress yet again failed to execute its oversight authority with the U.S. military. It punted for political reasons, for reasons that it doesn't want to appear to be adversarial with the U.S. military, and to pin the blame on the State Department, on Secretary Blinken, to make this a political issue. The reality was, is yes, there were political failures. There were diplomatic failures. They occurred. There were failures that spanned decades. And yes, I agree with the generals. I'd like to hear more about that as well. I'm quite aware of them. We discussed them here at Generation Jihad. But we should get to the bottom of the military failures. And as long as Congress is unwilling and incapable of grilling generals, of putting them on the spot, putting them in the hot seat, this will never happen. Yesterday's hearing, sadly, was a farce. And we, the American public who owes the truth about what happened in Afghanistan and what led up to the debacle that we witnessed in August of 2021, we deserve the truth in that, and we'll never get it as long as Congress won't hold generals' feet to the fire. Well, that is the end of my rant on yesterday's testimony at the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode of Generation Jihad. Just a reminder, you can listen to us on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe to Generation Jihad and leave us a review, preferably a positive one, but only if we earned it. Thanks again, and we'll see you all again real soon.